Blog Talk Radio.
Saints, welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. That indeed is one of my favorite hymns, one of my favorite hymns. But this version by Tennessee Ernie Ford is the best. It's an it's the way he sings it, the arrangement is just wonderful, wonderful, especially when he gets to that part where he says, "Have you heard the Macedonian call?" What a great, great interpretation of this great hymn, indeed. Well, we are talking about God giving Grace Church 1,000 souls, and some may be saying, "Pastor has a fever. Pastor must be sick. Pastor may have inadvertently eaten local weed instead of lettuce." No, I'm basing my belief on a scripture text which is applicable to all of God's people in both the Old Testament and the New. It reads from Isaiah 60, verse 22. "A little one, 1,000, and a small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, with great faith, I approach your throne of grace that you may bless us in this hour as we endeavor to consider your word, the word of God, the God who never lies, the God who doesn't give us false promises. All of his promises are true. All of his promises are to be claimed. All of his promises are to be pursued in faith. So, Father, I'm asking you as the pastor of Grace Church, I'm asking you, I'm beseeching you, I'm imploring you to give us 250 children, 250 youth, 250 young adults, young married couples, and 250 adults and seniors. Oh, God bless us. We thank you, Lord, today for what we saw in the nursing home at Palatine Bridge. There were 22 seniors there, 22 today, 22 seniors and two staff members, a total of 24. Communion, singing hymns, praising the Lord, thanking God for his goodness. Yes, the nursing home church there at Palatine Bridge. Bless those souls, oh God. Bless the nursing home churches, the one in St. Johnsville and the one at Palatine Bridge. Oh God, bless the people, bless the staff. Bless those 22 souls there that heard the word preached to them by Brother Joe, and who heard the hymns sung by Sister Jeannie, and who received communion at the hands of Sister Char, and who were blessed by the hymns by Sister Linda. Oh God, bless those 22 souls. Bless them, oh God, we pray, and add to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, we've been looking at the rate of growth in the Old Testament, looking at the word generation. These are the generations of Adam, it says in Genesis 5:1. And it took a long time, Adam and his descendants, to reach 1,000 souls via generation. And then we looked at in the life of the great patriarch Abraham, who is the father of all who believe, not just all who believe in the Old Testament, but all who believe in the New Testament. Abraham is also our father according to the faith. So we saw in the life of Abraham how Abraham lived an entire life, and he produced one son, in Isaac, the Lord said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. I will make my covenant with Isaac. As for Ishmael, I've heard your prayer, but in Isaac is the promise, in Isaac. I will bless Ishmael, but Isaac carries the covenant. And then we saw that Isaac lived to an old age, and he only produced two sons, Jacob and Esau. So all of Abraham's life to produce one son. All of Isaac's life to produce two sons. All of Jacob's life, the third major patriarch, to produce 12 sons. And then we read in Exodus chapter 1 that when Joseph was already in Egypt, that Jacob and his sons came down into Egypt because of the famine that was in Canaan. And there was food in Egypt because God had already sent Joseph well in advance to preserve his people. And when Jacob entered Egypt, there were 70 souls who accompanied him. 70. So notice, Abraham produced one. Jacob, or rather Isaac, produced two. Jacob and his sons produced 70. Joseph was already in Egypt with his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which would have made 73, and that was it. So the process of building the church over generations is very, very lengthy. It takes a long time to reach 1,000. But the promise is, and God kept his promise to Abraham, the promise is that out of one shall become 1,000, and it happened. A small one, like Abraham, will become a strong nation. It happened. When did it happen? Well, we're told it happened in Egypt. They multiplied. The children of Israel multiplied, so much so that they became a dread to the Egyptians. The Egyptians feared that the population growth of the Israelites, which was outpacing their growth, would cause an overthrow in their kingdom. And so Pharaoh devised a plan to diminish the numbers of the Israelites. But the more they afflicted them, the more they tormented them, the more they burdened them with hard labor, the more they grew and they multiplied, because it was God's time to hasten the growth. And when God hastens something, when God unleashes something, when God wants something to happen, no one can stop it, not even the greatest monarch on the face of the earth, which was Pharaoh. Not Pharaoh, not his magicians, not his sorcerers, not his police force. No one could stop the Israelites from multiplying when God said it was time for them to grow, to multiply, and to become tens of thousands. No one. In the New Testament, it's not about generations, but it's about regeneration. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, a man must be what? Born again." Regeneration. A man must be what? Regenerated. Life given to that man by the Spirit of God. Regeneration can produce 1,000 souls in one day. So, whereas in the Old Testament, God built his church over generations, God can build a 1,000-member church after one sermon. That's what God can do. He can do it via regeneration, causing people who are already alive and who don't serve God to now serve God after he grants them the gift of the new birth. So let's look at John 10, because the little one in the New Testament is none other than Jesus. You say, "Pastor, what little one are you talking about?" Well, let's go back to the text in Isaiah 60, verse 22. "A little one shall become 1,000. Well, that little one is baby Jesus. And a small one, a strong nation. That small one is baby Jesus. Baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem. That's the primary interpretation. And then, of course, whenever God starts a revival, he'll use a little one. He'll use an insignificant lay person to start to ignite revival fire. He took those 120 there in the upper room. Who were, there's just a bunch of men and women whom were considered nobodies. A little group, a little band of believers who obeyed Jesus, who said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you be filled with power from on high. After you receive the power, after you receive the dunamis, then you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." So, John 12. We want to read verses 20 through 24 and verse 27. Look what it says. Look what it says in John 12:20. We're going to be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Let's listen to this. This is an astonishing account. These few verses is just an amazing account and what Jesus reveals in it. Let's read. John 12, starting at verse 20, all the way down to verse 24, and then we're going to jump down to verse 27.
Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee.
Sir, we wish to see Jesus.
Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them,
The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain.
What's astonishing here is there are Greeks, there are pagans, there are non-Jews, like you and I, we're non-Jews. Back in Jesus' day, he came unto his own, John says. In the first chapter of John, Jesus came unto his own, but his own what? What happened to his own? His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to be called the sons of God. There's a group of Greeks who feel drawn, supernaturally drawn to Jesus. So the Greeks seek out from among the disciples of Jesus that have Greek names, such as Philip. Philip's a Greek name. Andrew is a Greek name. So here you have these Greeks. They want to have an audience with Jesus. They want to hear the gospel from Jesus. And they approach Philip, and then Philip comes to Andrew, and both Andrew and Philip come to Jesus, and Jesus says, listen to me, Philip and Andrew. The hour has arrived that I, the Son of Man, should be glorified. Now, up to this point, Jesus basically had 12 disciples. After 3.5 years, basically, 12 disciples, give or take. A few women that followed him. But the band of disciples that Jesus had, they were flimsy. They were wishy-washy. Just look at them. Look, after 3.5 years, it's a motley crew. He can't expect much from his disciples. They haven't shown anything yet. And Jesus says this, the hour has now arrived that the Son of Man should be glorified. How will he be glorified? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die. He's talking about his death. He's, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain, one grain. He's the grain. Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it will always abide alone. The way to produce life for others is for one to die. Jesus had to die. It die, and he will die. It bringeth forth much fruit. In other words, Jesus was saying, one, a little one, shall become 1,000. How does a little one become 1,000? A little one becomes 1,000 when that little one dies. Jesus is that little one. How does revival come today, saints? How does it come today? It comes when one little one in the body of Christ, one person. We're reading this book on the power of prayer. Here you have this layman. A layman, listen to me, saints, a lay minister. What's a lay minister? No one really gives much credit or much accolades or much respect or A lay minister gets no respect. They're really a non-entity. Here's this lay minister who's burdened. He's walking the streets of New York, and he's burdened over these thousands of souls that he sees. And he declares in the book, I would have to live 1,000 lives. I would have to become 1,000 of me to reach these people with their 1,000 needs. Each person has different needs. But notice, God used this man, this little one. He died to self. He died to self so that others may become alive in Christ Jesus. The little old woman who went to the red schoolhouse to pray. Everyone had given up on the prayer meeting. The pastor was the first one to give up on the prayer meeting. He canceled. Everyone followed suit. The deacons followed suit. Everybody in the church followed suit. But there was a little old lady who made her way through the deep snow to the little red schoolhouse. I'm imagining that the little red schoolhouse wasn't even heated. I'm imagining that there was no wood in the furnace when the little old woman got there, covered hip deep in snow, and she had a prayer meeting. She lit the fire. The little old woman is emblematic of a little one. Someone has to be burdened. Someone that has no, listen, you have no national platform. You're not on radio. You're not on Christian television. No one's handing you the mic. No one's paying you any mind. But you have a burden. Jesus says, I am that grain of wheat that must fall to the ground, and not just fall to the ground, but I must die. Because if I don't die, there'll be no harvest. It abides alone. If I don't die, there's no multiplication. If I don't die, what happens? It doesn't bring forth much fruit. So, Jesus dies, because it says in verse 27, he says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause, what's the cause? To die. I'm the Lamb of God. For this cause, I came into the world. I'm here for this cause. I came unto this hour. This is my hour to die. And when I die, 3 days later, like the grain of wheat that falls into the ground, I'll rise again from the dead. And I'll spring up like a stalk, and I will produce much fruit. The fruit is the fruit of regeneration. Jesus didn't marry a woman and have children and then wait for those. He didn't do like Adam. Jesus didn't do like Abraham. Jesus didn't do like Isaac. Jesus didn't do like Jacob. Jesus didn't do like Joseph. Jesus didn't produce children by generation. No, Jesus produces children for God by the act of regeneration. And the production of these children is rapid. And there will be much, much fruit. And this is what we're praying for. So, Jesus dies, and soon after his resurrection, let's read how many disciples he's got. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 15, 6. It says, after that, Jesus was seen of about 500 brethren at once. You see what Paul is saying? After Jesus rose again from the dead, there wasn't 12. It had already multiplied. How many brethren? 500 brethren at once. Jesus dies. Remember, Jesus dies alone at the cross. His disciples are scattered. His disciples go on the run. They go underground. The band of followers of Christ is disbanded soon after his resurrection. He was only in the grave 3 days. Soon after his resurrection, there's already much fruit. How many brethren? 500. You see how fast regeneration works? Then we read, and this is the scripture that I'm holding on to, Isaiah 66:20. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will do what? I, the Lord, will make it happen in its time. So there's the thousand mark. That's the mark I want to hit with Grace Church. I don't want to stay at 500. I want to go to the thousand mark. Because that's what the text says. The text doesn't say one shall become 500. And a small one shall become a mini nation. No. No, it'll become a strong nation. A strong nation is a nation of 1,000. So, let's read Acts 2. Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. And let's read verse number 41. This is Peter's first message. Acts 2. It reads, "And they that gladly received Peter's sermon, and the same day they were added unto the church, about 3,000 souls." So you already had 500. And in the upper room, you had 120. So if you add the 500 plus the 120, that's 620. You add the 3,000, that's 3,620. This is just a few days. Peter preaches on Pentecost. That's 60 days. That's 60 days after Jesus rose from the dead. 60 days. Now, remember, you read Genesis 5, and you read these are the generations of Adam, and Adam begot Seth, and Seth begot Jared, and so forth and so on. And it took forever to reach 1,000. And Abraham, how long did it take Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph to reach 1,000? Of 4 generations. But in 60 days, you got 3,620. In 60 days. Acts 2:47. "These new converts were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily." Look what God is doing. He's adding to the 3,620. He's adding daily. That's 3 times more than what we're asking God, almost 4 times more. I'm only asking the Lord for 1,000. That's all we can handle at Grace. 4 services on Sunday. That's all we could possibly squeeze in. 4 services at 250 persons present. And God already by Acts 2. Listen, we're not even at Acts 28. This is Acts 2. We're just getting started. This is only the second chapter of Acts, and God is already breaking records. Acts 2:47. God, in addition to the 3,000, he was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Then we read in Acts 4, verse 4, "Howbeit, many of them that heard the word believed, and the number of the men was what? Was about 5,000. Listen to me, saints. If you're just counting the men, they're not even counting the women. They're not counting the young people. They're not counting the children. If you just count the men alone, they've already reached 5,000. When you read Acts 5, verse 14, it says, and the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, already to the 5,000. Now, listen. There's another group coming in. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of them. This time, not only are we factoring the men, but now we have to add the women. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was what? Multiplied. Forget adding. Now we're in a different, listen, this is a different equation. We've left addition behind. We're in multiplications now. We're doing multiplication tables here. In those days when the number of the disciples was what? Multiplied. This is rapid math. Acts 6, 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Again, you can't stop this thing. God is hastening it. And a great company of the priests. Who are the priests? The enemies of Christ. The enemies of Christ were now being obedient to the faith. You had men and women. Now you're getting clergy, antagonistic clergy, who fought Jesus, who called him a false Messiah. Now they're being obedient to the faith. It says a great company, an astronomical number of them. So when I say to you, my precious brothers and sisters, that me asking the Lord for 1,000 is not crazy. I just showed you. And mind you, I'm stopping at Acts 6. I haven't taken you through Acts 7, Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 10. I haven't shown you all the other verses where the church growth is just unbelievable. And the church growth, this just didn't work in Jerusalem. It worked in Judea. And it also worked in Samaria. And it also worked in the uttermost parts of the earth. Wherever you take the gospel, wherever you take Jesus, there's going to be conversions. There's going to be regeneration. Great numbers will be saved. So, don't get used to 50 people. Start getting used to the idea of 1,000. 1,000. That's all we can handle. Now, we'll pray 1,000 for us, and we'll pray 1,000 for the Reformed Church. And we'll pray 1,000 for the Lutheran Church. And we'll pray 1,000 for all the other churches in St. Johnsville. There's enough to go around. But I know what we can handle. And not only what we can handle, but I know what the scriptures promise. And I know what God is capable of doing through Jesus Christ. He said, it is my hour has come that I fall to the ground and die. Because if I don't, there won't be a harvest. And if I do, the harvest will be great. Jesus has already died. So what is there left? What is left to be done? Well, what's left to be done is for you and I to believe. For you and I to believe that God's promises are true. That we can claim them. We can pray them. We can ask the Lord to answer our prayer. and then start making preparations to bring the harvest in and to care for the 1,000 souls that he will send our way. That's my belief. That's my faith. That's my conviction. That's what I'm going to work towards. And again, I've made the case scripturally. God has done it in the past, and he can do it in the future. You join me in faith. You join me in prayer. You join me in the streets, giving out tracts. You join me reaching out, knocking on doors, going from house to house, and you'll see the 1,000 coming through the doors of Grace Church. You'll see it happen. Because I believe that a little one shall become 1,000, and a small one a strong nation, because the Lord will hasten it in his time. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. I thank you that despite my health, despite my congestion, despite my struggles here this week, we were able to teach this lesson. And Father, I'm believing. If anyone, Lord, it's me, I believe that you're going to do what your word says you're going to do. And I will see with my eyes. I will see the Lord hasten this work. So bless us, Lord, we pray. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Bless us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' majestic name, we pray. Amen.
And